This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'amalu salihah. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders and brothers, it is regarded to be part of human instinct for a person to strive for his needs and for the needs of his dependents and his family. Everyone regards it to be part and parcel of the instinct and needs of a human being. Islam has gone one step further. Islam had said not only is it a human need, Islam has made it a religious obligation to care and to earn a living for yourself and your dependents is not something that is only part of your needs, it is a religious obligation. Therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, talabul halali faridatun ba'da al-farida. The acquiring of halal risk is a farida. It is a religious obligation. Ulama have said it is wajib for you to earn a living for yourself and for those who are dependent upon you. For example, if you are going to get married, it is compulsory for you to have the means to look after your wife. That is a compulsion. It is compulsory for you to have the means to look after yourself and to look after the needs of your dependents. And Allah has made it part of our religious obligation. Insani taqaza ke mutabik hum sab kasbe dunya aur kasbe halal ki talash ki bharpoor koshish karte hain, lekin hamare deen ne rozi kamane ko mardon ka farida qarar diya hai. I have made mention that it is a compulsion upon the men. Allah has not made it compulsory for the woman to care for her own needs. Allah has not made it compulsory for the woman to fend for her own needs. Allah has made the nearest male relative that responsible for that particular responsibility. In this, in earning a halal risk, in earning a pure sustenance, in earning your needs, in that there is dignity. There is dignity of a human being in earning halal risk. Therefore, one of the great tragedies of our country is that there is such a great rate of unemployment. I made mention of it several weeks back, 29%. 6.7 million people in South Africa are unemployed. They are bereft of dignity. In earning a halal risk, there is dignity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith that one day a person came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he came to beg. Right? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him something and he came again. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this dunya is very, very green. You can go and keep on asking from people. But for you to go into the jungle, to cut wood, and to come sell that wood, which is very difficult. Obviously people would know the type of manual labor there is involved in that. Is better than for you to go and ask from people. Is better than to go and beg from people. Halal kamane mein izzat aur waqar hai. Ek shakhs bajaye kisi se mangne ke, khwa wo agla banda de ya na de, behtar ye hai ke wo lakriya kaat kar, unko kamar par laad kar, market mein aakar bej de. It is better for him to do so. It is better for him to go and cut wood and to go and come and sell it in the market than to go and ask from people and to go and beg from people. And therefore, no matter what type of profession you are involved in, as long as it is not haram, it is permissible. And in that there is dignity. We must never look down upon any profession. Sometimes there are people who are doing different. Sometimes they are electricians. Sometimes they are plumbers. Today the electricians and plumbers are more busier than even the neurosurgeon. On a plumber's truck, there was an advert written, "We repair what your husband's fixed." We repair what your husband fixed. The husband fixed it. Now it couldn't come right, so you called a plumber. Anyway, they said about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, just to show you what respect there is in earning a halal rizq. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam one day saw a person making ibadat. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making ibadat." "What, do you do this all the time?" "Yes." He said, "Who is looking after your needs? How do you eat?" He said, "My brother is working in the field and he cares for me." So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Your brother is a greater abid than you. Your brother is a greater worshipper than you." Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ne kisi ko dekha jo ne masjid mein ibadat kar raha hai. To unhone kaha, aapke kamai ke bare mein kya hai? To mere bhai jo hai na wo kaam karke mujhe deta hai. To Isa alayhi salatu wasalam ne kaha ki aapke bhai aapse barkar abid hai. He is a greater abid and is a greater worshipper and is a greater pious person than you. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam ate from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma akala ahadun ta'aman qat khayru min ay ya'kula min amali yadihi." No person has earned a better risk than earning from his own hands. And as a Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to earn from his own hands, alhamdulillah. And that's why we find amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to do work and they used to have professions and they used to earn risk through the means of their profession and through the means of their effort. So it is made mention that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam keti bare aur kapre bunne ka kaam karte the. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam used to do farming, and he used to fix up the clothes. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam najari ka kaam karte the. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was a carpenter. Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam darzita. Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam was a tailor. Alhamdulillah, hamare fauzibuk mein kafi log jo hai na ya to logon ki hajamat banwate hain ya darzi ke kaam karte hain. In our Fauzibuk, alhamdulillah, we got enough people who do the hair of people and who are tailors. Alhamdulillah, they are fulfilling the sunnah of Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to do armor. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam said in one hadith, "There is not a Nabi, koi aisa Nabi nahi tha, jinhone bakriya nahi charwaya." There is no Nabi who did not look after sheep and goats of people. So Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, what about you?" So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I also looked after the sheep of the Quraysh for a certain amount of money." So where is this that we feel that we have lack of dignity for a person to work when the Nabi of Allah worked? When Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worked, and it is made mention that every one of the most of the Ashra'i Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, most of them were tajirs, most of them were people who did business. So in this is our dignity for us to strive to earn a halal risk. And in this particular matter, being independent through the means of your striving to earn a halal risk is a very great honor. It's a very great honor. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "I would not prefer to die in a position. I would not prefer to die in a position that while I am buying and selling for the sake of my family. I would not like to die in a position, but I am earning halal risk for my family." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu farmate the ki main marna nahi chahta bajus iske ki main apne bachon ke liye wo risk halal ki talash mein hoon. So in that days, therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us the du'as, "Allahumma kfina bi halalika an haramik wa aghnina bi fadlika amman siwak." You and I must make it part of our daily du'as. "Oh Allah, suffice for my needs through the means of halal. Allahumma kfini bi halalik instead of haram. Wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak." And oh Allah, through your grace, make me independent of human being. Logo se mujhe chutkara naseeb farma. Don't make me dependent upon any human being. Don't make me in such a way that I am dependent upon any human being. So in this there is dignity, in this there is a respect and the honor. And seeking halal risk and searching for it is an obligation. Such an obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, amongst the 5 questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us on the day of Qiyamah, two of the questions will be to do with risk. Panch sawalon mein se aakhirat mein do sawal jo hai na wo risk ke bare mein hoga. How did you earn your wealth and how did you spend your wealth? Aapne risk kaise hasil kiya, usko kaise jo hai na aapne kaise kharch kiya? How did you earn your wealth and how did you in this particular way? And every particular aspect of risk is mubarak and blessed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day saw a person whose hand was, you know, very rough because of manual labor. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, kissed it and said, why is this hands rough? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I do manual labor. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed it. Ulama say he was not only kissing the hands of that person who was doing this manual labor, he was kissing the hands of every person who strives to earn a halal risk. And he is making effort, and he is striving, even if there is effort in doing that. Al-Kasibu Habibullah. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person who strives to earn a halal risk, he is beloved to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. While all of that is permissible, all of this is permissible, our ulama however have said that there are certain types of halal risk, earning halal risk, which has more benefit, and it is more rewarding, and it has added advantages. One of them is, for example, farming. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged farming. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged trade, business. Hum to tajir hazrat hai. By and large, our communities, people who are, the people who are in this particular gathering, many of us, not all of us, but many of them are people who are tajirs. You know, people have even said, if Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah to ask us, where you want to go? He said, bhai, send me there where I can do business. Mujhe wahan pe de ja jahan pe main tijarat kar sakta hu. Send me there where I can do business. But there is great amount of, you know, wisdom in that. In a hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, 90% of risk Allah has kept in business. Nowhere fisad risk Allah Ta'ala ne tijarat mein rakha hai. 90% of risk Allah. That's why you would say, fine, Allah has given a lot of barakah in trade. Even the people who give chanda, even the people who give donations, by and large you find the people who give donations are the people who are traders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve their wealth that they can use it correctly. Because they are people. Professionals, alhamdulillah, by and large, Allah ta'ala keep the professionals also happy, but they don't give as much as what the tajirs give. They don't give as much as how much the traders give. And perhaps there is a reason for it. Allah has kept 90% of risk in trade. Allah in the Holy Quran, in Surah Muzammil, has made mention of the people who go out in the path of Allah together with those who go out in trade. وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله. Allah makes mention of the people who go out يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله. Those who go out and travel for the sake of trade. وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله. Allah makes mention of them together with those who go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So going out for trade, by and large, those who go out for trade go to China. Allah Ta'ala keep them also preserved, inshallah. And make them go for the right reasons. So anyway, this is the aspect of Allah has given. Firstly, 90%. Allah has made mention of trade together with those who go out in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, just to give you the example of trade, how mubarak and blessed it is. Hazrat Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh was once asked that, Imam Muhammad, why don't you write a book on piety? Why don't you write a book on piety? So Imam Malik, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi said, I have written a book on trade. Whoever follows that, he has become pious. Whoever follows that, he will become pious. Because the criteria and the test of piety is not in the masjid. The criteria and the test of piety is, you are in the marketplace, you are in the business, and someone comes and tell you, here is a deal. But in that deal, there is deception. In that deal, there is interest. Now it's so easy for you, for the sake of that particular prophet, that you forego the commands of Allah. You forego everything. But in this particular way, if you remain steadfast upon the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make you pious. Not only will Allah make you pious, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tajiru as-saduqu al-amin ma'a an-nabiyyina was-siddiqina wash-shuhada. The pious trader, the honest trader, the trader with integrity will be with ma'an nabiyyin. He will be with the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. He will be with the Siddiqeen. He will be with the Shuhada. Now there are four categories. The ulama have also made mention in this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make mention of the category of the pious. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says, Man nabiyyin was siddiqeen was shuhada was salihin. But in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention only of three. Why? Because the person, a trader who is honest with integrity, automatically becomes salih. He automatically becomes salih. Therefore, it's so important. There is a great link now. There is a great link between eating halal and doing righteous deeds. تو یوں تو میں نے کہا ہر قسم کے حلال کمانے یہ اس میں خیر اور برکت ہے، مگر تجارت میں جو فوائد ہے وہ دوسرے میں نہیں ہے. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے کہا کہ 90% رزق اللہ تعالیٰ نے تجارت میں کہا. Now, after understanding the importance of tijarat, which is one of the ways of earning a halal rizq, let us also make mention that there is a great link between eating halal and doing righteous deeds. There is a very, very great link in eating halal and doing righteous deeds. Therefore, in the Holy Quran, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, it is a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers what he commanded the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala ne mu'mino ke liye wahi hukam diya hai jo Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam ko diya. Kya? Kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu salihah. Eat from the halal things we have provided you with and do righteous deeds. Kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu salihah. Eat right, eat halal, eat tayyibat, eat pure, wa'malu salihah, and do righteous deeds. So there is a great link between the two. And therefore it is said that what is halal? Now when you said kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu salihah, what is halal? There are two things. One is your actual food with which you use your wealth to buy must be halal. And yet it is everyone's responsibility. Halal khana, yeh jo hamare khane jo halal ho, yeh sab ki zimmedari hai. Yeh senha ki zimmedari nahi hai. It is not the responsibility of Senha. Senha has made it easy for you. So it tells you the ingredients for you to able to identify what is halal and haram. But if, aliyadu billah, there was no Senha, then whose responsibility? Then it would have been your responsibility to go and see and ask the people what product you are buying, whether it is halal or not. So one responsibility of halal is to see what you are eating. The product that you are buying is halal. And the second is, the wealth with which you are buying your needs, that is halal. That is halal. Therefore, this is also. And until you do not eat halal, you will find it very difficult to do right and deed. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And therefore, ulama have said, a body that has been nurtured by haram, either by haram food, or either by food that is purchased with haram wealth, will find it very difficult to do righteous deeds. جو حرام جو ہے نا غذا میں اگر کوئی آ جائے شامل ہو جائے تو ان کو جو ہے نا وہ نیک کام کرنا بہت باری بہت دشوار ہوگا. That is why some of the times you find people who find it very difficult to do righteous deeds. Perhaps one of the reasons is your food is haram, your amadani is haram, your income is haram. How can you do righteous deeds thereafter? Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi used to say, the way a person earns his money, I know how he's going to spend it. جس طرح سے وہ کماتا ہے مجھے پتا ہے کہ وہ اس کو جو ہے وہ خرچ کیسا کرے گا. یو ارن اٹ ان اے حلال وے یو ول اسپینڈ اٹ ان اے حلال وے اینڈ اف یو ڈونٹ ارن اٹ ان اے حلال وے یو ارن اٹ ان اے حرام وے یو ول سی یور منی ول آلسو گیٹ ویسٹڈ. شیخ امام احمد بن حنبل رحمۃ اللہ علیہ وین ٹو گو اینڈ وزٹ امام شافی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ہز استاد. سو امام شافی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ یوز ٹو اسپیک ویری ہائیلی اباؤٹ امام احمد بن حنبل. میرے طلبا میرے طالب علم مائی اسٹوڈنٹ از سو پائس ہی از سو گریٹ. So when he came, the daughters of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, our father speaks so highly about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, let us test him. Right? So they tested him. They had a particular method of testing him. The next morning, when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi went, they told Imam Shafi, Imam sahab, our father, Imam Shafi, you said Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is very pious. He is your favorite student. We didn't find him to be pious. He said, why? How did you find him to be pious? He said, after Isha, we left water for him to make wuzu. Right, in his room. The next morning we went to go and see, we found that the wuzu water was not used. So kya matlab, what does it mean? First of all, he didn't get up for tahajjud. Then he tells, that's of course, that was a sign of piety in those days. And then he read fajr, but maybe he read fajr without wuzu. So Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi went to ask Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, what is the meaning of this? So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi gave an answer. What a beautiful answer. He said, oh my ustad, I've always heard that there is barakah in halal food. There is blessings in halal food. So I said, where am I going to get more better halal food than at the house of my ustad? So I ate enough, more than what I normally eat, because I knew that it's going to be halal. He said that the barakah of that particular halal food was such, after Isha when I sat down, I started contemplating about Quran and Hadith. I learned so many masail that normally I didn't know, which I had, you know, difficulty in understanding because of the halal food. It opened up my mind and I could understand the Quran and Hadith better. And I spent the entire night contemplating in the Quran and Hadith. So I made the Tahajjud Salat and Fajr Salat with the wuzu of Isha. That's a barakat. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ud'u Allah ta'ala ayyaj'alani mustajab al-da'wat. Ya Rasulullah, make dua to Almighty Allah that Allah ta'ala make me mustajab al-da'wat. That whatever dua I make, Allah will accept. What did Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? Ya Sa'd atib mat'amaka takun mustajab al-da'wat. Oh Sa'd, eat halal, Allah will accept all your duas. Oh Sa'd, eat halal, Allah will accept all your duas. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the other side, that if your earning is haram, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about a traveler who goes out far for traveling, and he comes at a place where he has no food, he is in difficulty, he's a stranger in a foreign land, and he is in a situation that he asks Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, I'm in a foreign land, I'm a stranger, I'm helpless. You normally help people who are helpless. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Malbasu haram, mat'amuhu haram, wa mashrabuhu haram, fa anna yustajab. But his eating is haram, his drinking is haram, his clothes is from haram sources. Where will Allah accept his dua? So there's a great link between duas being accepted and righteous deeds and what we are eating and what we are consuming. And then of course, and you know, normally we have always been very, very careful. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, when a man used to go out in his time for work, the woman used to say, fear Allah and only bring halal in the house. Don't bring haram. We don't want to have luxuries. That was that time. Patani, today they will do the same or not. We don't want luxuries. We will bear poverty, but we don't want to eat haram. Imam Ghazali said, the woman used to tell the men, the husbands, when you go out, fear Allah. Don't bring more wealth, bring halal. We will stay without food, but we won't eat haram. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come when people won't worry whether they're eating halal or haram. So my dear respected brothers, this is a very important point. There's a different aspect that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also made mention with regard to the tajir. The traders had a very important role in Islamic history. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rahim Allahu abdan idha ba'a saman wa idha ishtara wa idha ittada. Allah have mercy upon a trader who is kind and lenient and compassionate to his customers. One person, a trader, went in Akhirat, the hadith, Sahih Muslim's hadith, that Allah will ask him and said, what good deeds you brought? He said, Ya Allah, I have got no good deeds. I didn't do much ibadat. I didn't do, but I was a trader. I was very compassionate to my customers. I was very compassionate. I gave them discount. I gave them goods. Sometimes they paid me. Sometimes they were delayed. I accepted it. Allah Ta'ala will tell him, you did kindness to my banda, to my bondsmen, to my slaves. It is more worthy that I do be kind to you the way you were kind to my banda and my bondsmen and my servants. Go, I have forgiven you. Traders were also the means of establishing Islam in Indonesia, in Central Africa. Go and see the history. You will find traders were the people who spread Islam. So you who are doing trade, you have a very great responsibility. People's interaction is not with the people who are sitting on the minbar. Non-Muslims don't interact with the people who are sitting on the minbar. They interact with the traders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear respected brothers, this is a very important issue. I have just kept it brief. The importance of halal, the dignity of halal, the respect and the honor of halal, staying away from haram and all of that. Obviously, we haven't been able to cover all the aspects, but I hope in this particular short, brief time, we have been able to cater and speak about the importance of earning halal risk, the dignity with regard to it, and staying away from haram.